probably be here in this little section for a couple of services, maybe tonight and Sunday morning. Don't know if it'll go any longer than that, but looking forward to preaching on the fundamentals of the faith coming up here pretty soon after we finish the book of Galatians and going through some of the scripture on the fundamental doctrines and why we believe what we believe and why we call ourselves fundamentalist. What does that mean? It's not just because of the church that we go to, but it means we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. We ought to be able to define those and be able to take people to Scripture and point out where those fundamental beliefs are. And so I'm looking forward to preaching that here pretty soon. I ask that you be in prayer for me as we do that, as I prepare to preach that. I also ask that you'd be in prayer for my family this week. I pray on Thursday through Saturday, Amy and I are going out of town for just a little getaway. And if you would pray for our safety on the road, we're going to go up north. I think it's about a 3 or 4 hour drive. So we're going to go up north. If you'd pray for our safety on the road, I would appreciate it. And and not only that, but for the those that will be looking after our children in our absence will greatly need your prayer. So we pray that you would, we ask that you would pray for them as well. But anyhow, looking forward to that and just want to be safe on the road. That's a pretty long drive. Galatians chapter 5 and find verse 22. The Bible says, there's that word again, but, remember this morning we talked about the works of the flesh, and now here's the contrast. Paul says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, and do we? Yes, because we're saved. Well, then, let us also walk in the Spirit. We do live in the Spirit if we're saved. That's who we are. So we ought walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And this morning, we saw some of the things that characterize the unregenerate person, the person who's not saved, the one who is unrighteous. The Bible said this morning, I believe it was in the Corinthians passage, that it says, you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit. And that means the lost person. You say, well, but Pastor, I look at my life and I don't always see righteousness in everything that I do. Well, that's correct, because we still battle the flesh. But that inner man is righteous because he is born of God and he is alive unto God. And so we have been made righteous by Jesus Christ. Made to, we can say it like this, made to look righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. And so the unregenerate person, his spirit has not been quickened, has not been made alive because he's lost. He oftentimes displays these works of the flesh that we looked at this morning. Well, this evening we'll see some of the things that characterize the saved. This morning we looked at the characteristics of the flesh. Tonight we'll say, okay, I see the things there in Galatians that characterize the lost, and so the saved shouldn't live like that. But now what is step two? What do I need to do? You know that old saying, out with the bad, in with the good. Okay, Jesus talked about demons leaving a person and being like a room that's swept, but then they would return with even more and find the room clean and swept and just bring more in with them, because you know why? Nothing replaced the bad whenever it left. And so getting out the bad is good, but we also, getting out the bad is a good thing to do, but we also need to replace it with the good. You say, you know what? My philosophy was the world's philosophy for years. Well, once that goes, once you get that out, now you got to replace it with Bible. If not, some other wrong philosophy is going to come in. You know? What's the old, when you're exercising, out with the bad air, in with the good. You know, get the bad out, but bring some good in to replace it. Because if not, there's this hole, and it's going to be filled with something. So we need to fill it with the right things. We get out the bad things and we say, okay, that's that right there is what the Bible instructs me not to do. So if another way to keep from doing those things is to busy myself in doing the things that I am supposed to do. Okay? So you replace one thing and then you take one thing out and then you replace it with something better. So we're not of the flesh anymore. We don't... we're not in bondage to the flesh anymore. And so because of that, because we're of the Spirit, we need to do the things of the Spirit. And just as it is true that not every lost person engages in every single specific sin listed in verses 19 through 21. Remember we said that this morning. Not every lost person has committed adultery or fornication, but everybody fits in there somewhere. Some people have done everything on that list and others have only done one or two. But just as it's true that not every lost person has committed every single one of those specific works of the flesh, the sad truth is not every Christian exhibits every one of these fruits of the Spirit. So in the same way that not every lost person does all of these things, we have to be honest and say not every Christian does all of these fruits of the Spirit, has all the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's one other thing we need to look at as we say that. The lost, even though someone has not committed every single thing, or one person maybe has not committed everything on that list, let me ask you this question. Are they capable of it? You say, well, you take somebody and you say, well, look, that person right there has never been unfaithful to their spouse. That person has never murdered anybody, and we hope that they never do. But let me ask you this, could they? Absolutely. Do they have what it takes to do that? Absolutely. They are very capable of committing one of these things of hatred and murder and drunkenness and fornication and adultery and lasciviousness. Yeah, maybe they haven't, but they could. Basically, they have all the facilities needed to do it. They have a body, they have a will, they have sinful desires, they have the knowledge of these certain things. They have everything they need to do it. Doesn't mean that they do, all right? Now let's switch that to us. Not every Christian exhibits all of this fruit that we see right here, but could we? Are we capable? Absolutely. Do we have the facilities to exhibit all these? Absolutely. So in the same way that not every lost person does everything on this list, they could. They're capable of it. Not every saved person exhibits all of this fruit, but we could. We're capable. This fruit here is not referring to talents and abilities, because as we read through the Bible, we see that God has not gifted everyone in the same way. Not everybody has the same gifts and abilities and talents. God gives different gifts and talents and abilities to people to do different works. Some can sing, some can't. Some can play music, some can't. One of the qualifications in the Bible for a pastor is that he be apt to teach, which means he needs to understand how to teach. Some can, some can't. There are things that... it doesn't mean that he knows how to teach everything, but it's talking about the Word of God. You know, I've been playing guitar since I was, I think, 16 years old, and I have a hard time showing other people how to do it. I can show you how to make some chords and explain a few things to you, but you couldn't pay me for lessons because you'd get about 4 or 5 weeks and then that'd be about all I could, you know. I just don't know how to explain it that well. I can help you along, but I just don't know how to explain it real well. But God has given everybody different talents and gifts and abilities, but that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that the Spirit can and should bring about in every one of our lives, every saved person's life. We do have what we need. Not every lost person does all the things of the flesh, and not every lost person maybe would have all those desires. And that's another thing we need to consider is this. Lost people, I'm sure that there are plenty of lost people who have never had the desire to take another man's life. Oh, people get angry. People all the time say, I could kill that person. Well, yeah, people say that, but maybe even Christians say that sometime, but hopefully we don't really have the desire to take somebody's life, okay? But not everybody has the same desire. Not everybody's flesh desires the exact same things. I was never, I don't say this really braggingly, I'm just saying, because I had the things that I got caught up in. But when I was growing up, I had family members who went the way of drugs and alcohol and got in all that. I never had that desire, okay? It doesn't mean I didn't desire other sinful things, but some people desire that and some people look at it and say, nope, just not interested. Now, part of it was with me, I think, was because I was the youngest in the whole family and I got to see the effects of it. Looking back, I think that might have helped that I got to see what it did to them. But I just don't remember ever really wanting to do that. And I had some friends that went that way and we quit hanging out because I just didn't have that desire. But that didn't mean I didn't have desires to do other things of the flesh and other sinful things. So even though not everyone has the same desires, we're all capable of doing those things. Well, it's that way with Christians too. Not every Christian, I hate to say this, but it's true about us, not every Christian has the same desire. When you read the parable of the sower, when we get to that last type of seed, which is the ones that actually got saved, we read that the fruit that they brought forth was different. What's it say? Some 30, some 60. Okay, now, so not everybody, and Paul said, I believe it was to the Corinthians, he said, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. He was saying, you've not moved forward. So not every Christian has a desire. It shouldn't be this way, but the sad thing is, a lot of Christians, they are thankful for salvation. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven, but that's about all they want. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. They are thankful for that, but that thankfulness stops about right there. And they are saved and they are going to heaven, but then the next Christian knows that he's saved, knows that he's going to heaven, and because of that, he's thankful, and that thankfulness gives him a desire to, he wants to learn more, he wants to grow, he wants to do what God wants him to do. And so it's not the same in everybody, but it could be. And the fact is, we could all have that desire, and we should all have that desire. Some just don't. We could have it, and we should have it. So it's not that we could say, well, you know, that's just how I'm made, I just don't have that desire. Well, it's actually our fault that we don't have that desire. If we wanted that desire, we would have that desire. We could have it in our lives. But like I said, we look at those things and we say the sad thing is Christians oftentimes are in the same boat. We don't do all these, we don't have all this fruit sometimes, but we could and we should, and we should have a desire. Now, When we said in referencing the lost that they were capable, let's look at why we're capable, okay? The lost, everybody's capable of doing these things of the flesh. Well, Christians are capable of having the fruit of the Spirit. Why? We are capable. We could have all of these fruits in our lives. Why? Well, because we have the source of this fruit within us. Notice it doesn't say it is the fruit of a spiritual Christian. It is not your fruit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so it doesn't come from you. It comes from the Spirit. And so to have the fruit of the Spirit, you have to start by having what? The Spirit. If you're saved, do you have the Spirit? Absolutely. There are those that would teach that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a second event that takes place after you've been saved. That you get saved and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and this is what I was taught growing up. But at some point you have to, you pray and you seek and you ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you this morning, biblically, on the authority of the Scripture, every one of us has been baptized with the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. Okay? So when we get saved, we're baptized into one body, and the Bible tells us by that same Spirit. But there are those that would teach that you got to pray and get this, what they call second blessing. And you pray and you seek God for this, and then eventually if you get it, you get it. And they say that the evidence of that is speaking in other tongues, and we won't go down that road tonight, but their teaching on that is false. It is not biblical at all. But the truth is, we all, when we get saved, have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we have all of the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to have. One preacher said it like this, and I think this is a very, very good illustration, very good way of putting this. And what he said was this. He said, the Holy Spirit is a person. We know that. He's not a substance. You can't pour the Holy Spirit out like lemonade or like water. He's not a substance. He's a person. So you, when you get saved, get all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get because he's a person. It would be like, and I'm still using his illustration, it would be like when you get married. You cannot get married and then you can't go to your father-in-law 5 years later and ask your father-in-law to give you more of your wife. He'd say, you got all of her when you married her. You took her out of here, she's yours, you got every bit of her. Now I get some guys would go back and say, could you take back some of her? But you get all of, why? Because she's a person. She's not a substance. So when you get saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit you are ever going to get. The problem is what? He doesn't get all of you. You get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get, but the Holy Spirit doesn't get all of you because you can choose not to yield to Him and let Him have full control. And that's what being filled with the Spirit is. It's not a one-time event. It's a moment-by-moment thing where we listen to Him and we obey the Scripture and we follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's a moment-by-moment, step-by-step thing, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But when we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have the entire toolbox full of all the tools that we need. We have all the strength and energy that we need, but it's up to us. Are we going to open that box and use it, or are we going to just let it sit? Are we going to quench the Spirit or do what the Spirit tells us to do? Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. I want to look at a few scriptures. That highlight this truth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says this. But ye are not in the flesh. Go back to verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lost people can't please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, does he? Yes, when you get saved. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit residing within you. If not, you're not saved. Okay? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Next book over, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here's what happens to us as soon as we get saved in verse 13. For by one Spirit, notice the capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, he's a person. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we all get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. He indwells us. We all get the same Spirit. We all get the same amount. But the Holy Spirit doesn't always get the same amount of each of us. Some yield to him more than others. We ought yield to him 100%, but not everybody does. So you have all the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? And finally, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go back to Galatians and then just step over there to Ephesians chapter 1 and find verse 13 there. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that what? Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You're never going to find any passage in God's word that says anything about having more or less of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't exist. You will find that we have a responsibility to yield to him and not to quench him. And that means he doesn't always have all of us. My desire is that he would have all of me. I hope our desire, all of us have that same desire. I hope that we as a church would say we want him to have all of us. You know, these choruses that they sing in churches sometimes where they sing these songs. I've heard them and we used to sing them, but about asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and Holy Spirit, please fall upon us and all this. It's already happened when you got saved. Where are the songs saying, Holy Spirit, help me die to myself and obey you. Help me not to quench you. That's what the problem is in the lives of Christians. We don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of us to be able to transform us and make us who he wants us to be. So how much are you holding back? You ever had somebody hold back something on you? Remember how aggravating it was when you found out they were holding back? Let me share something with you. My kids think this story is hilarious. It is kind of funny. Good friend of mine, we grew up, I think we met like right before junior high and just became just wonderful friends. His family, they were like an adoptive family to me, and he was like my brother, and just really close. And his family actually were the first ones that were instrumental in teaching me some of the fundamentals and biblical truths to help get me on the right path. And anyhow, we hunted and we fished all the time. That was our common bond, and his dad really liked to hunt and fish and would take us hunting and fishing, and that's what we did. We did a lot of things, played basketball and everything, but hunting and fishing we did more than anything. That was our thing. And so we're out fishing, And I've never been able to, if you know anything about fishing, you know what a bait caster reel is. And I've never been able to get a handle on how to use a bait caster. I use an open face because a bait caster, I can't control it and I end up with big rat's nest and I just can't do it. So I use an open face. So anyhow, my buddy had this, it was a real old, almost antique bait caster. And he let me use it one day and man, I was able to do it. It just had the right ball bearings or whatever, and I was able to do it better than I could other ones I had tried. And I was, man, I like this one. And so I asked him, you know, I mean, they had tons of rod and reel, so I asked if he wanted to sell it or something, and he was like, no, can't, you know, can't do that. Well, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months later, I got this float tube. And a float tube, you put on waders, and then it's kind of just like a big inner tube, and you put fins on and get out in the water there if you don't have a boat and just fish from that tube. Used it one time. Wanted it real bad. Got it for Christmas. Used it one time. Never used it again. My friend decides he'd like to have that float tube. So to get that float tube from me, somehow he has two of those reels. He had one that I didn't know anything about. You know what? He was holding out on me. I asked him, I said, man, I like that reel. Would you like to sell that or trade that or something? And no, can't do that. He didn't mention, I've got a spare. I've got two of these, until it benefited him and I had something he wanted. And he was like, hey, I got another one of those reels. And we did end up swapping and everything. But I remember being so aggravated. Why didn't you tell me you had two back then? You know, you could have at least let me use that extra one whenever we were fishing. You know, we both could have had one, but it was so aggravating to know, man, you were holding out on me. You were holding out. Well, think about, the Bible talks about we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. How must it grieve the Holy Spirit when we hold back and we're holding out on Him? And He knows, you're not giving me your all and letting me have full control. It's kind of like, have you ever been on horseback riding and you had a horse that just is stubborn and wanted to do its own thing and wouldn't obey the rider? I went riding with a buddy one time and we rode this horse that, man, it was an ornery horse. It would just reach back and bite you on the leg while you were riding. It was a bad horse. It was rough. And so, I got a great story about that horse, but I'm not telling it right now. This horse just, you know, but then you'd get on another one and man, it would do everything you told it to do. First time I ever rode a horse that you didn't, you know, most horses are trained to where you make a noise or you kick them once and they kind of canter and then you kick them again, then they start to trot and then they gallop. I rode a horse, this lady had a horse that you didn't even have to kick it. It was trained, you just told it what to do. You'd say, you would say canter, and it would start cantering, and you would say trot, and then it would pick up, and you'd say gallop, and then it would take off. And I didn't know you could train horses to do that. But anyhow, this other one, man, you'd kick him in the nose to keep him from biting you. He was stubborn. He would not let the rider have control. And you know what? The ride didn't go well because of that. So we as Christians sometimes are stubborn, and we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we don't let Him have control. We don't let Him take the reins and tell us where to go. We try to pull here and pull there. And because of that, we miss out on seeing some of this fruit here in Galatians in our life. You know, we're only hurting ourselves. Because we're the ones that benefit from it. Why does it grieve the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit knows what's best for us. We're the ones getting hurt here whenever we won't submit to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So the question I would pose tonight is this: are there areas in your life where you are grieving the Holy Spirit and not allowing the Holy Spirit to have full control? Are there areas in your life where you have said, yes, take full control, but I want to still have my hand on the reins here? You know, you have to let go. We got to let go. We have to say, you can have all of it. Why? Because I want to be all of what God wants me to be. I look at this list here in Galatians, And you know what? When I look at this list, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And I can't look at that list and see anything that I can scratch off and say, I'm not too interested in that one. I can't look at it and say, you know what, love, joy, peace, that sounds good, but I don't even care about that long-suffering, gentleness, good. This all looks good to me. This all looks good to me. You ever had a can of that fruit cocktail or fruit medley? You know, those always have different names for it, and it has a bunch of different types of fruit in it. Well, some of that stuff you're picking out, aren't you? You're like, cherries, get those out of there. Alex likes mangoes. I don't know if I have had a mango in there, but I like to pick through and find the papaya. Man, it's delicious. Never had papaya until a few years ago, and I think it's wonderful. I dig that out, you know, get that papaya out. Why? Because there's stuff in there we don't really care for and other stuff that we like. And little kids do that. You give them dessert or something, they'll scrape something off the top. I'll eat this part of it. I like this. I don't want that. They pick and choose. You go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and you say, I don't want any of that. I have some of this. And, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit to me is like, and I hope it's this way with you, it's something that I look at and I say, man, all of that looks good. You go to, like I said, a buffet. You go to a buffet and not everything on there looks good. We ate at a buffet last night and it was, my grandmother used to eat it, but she never made it, so I'd never tried it. I'd never had okra, fried okra. I just had never had it. Tried it last night and don't plan on having it again. It wasn't gross. It wasn't like, I was just like, yeah, whatever. Didn't gain anything from that. I just didn't care for it. Because maybe if I had some homemade, it would be different. I'm not touching the boiled stuff, though. I am not touching the boiled stuff. But anyhow, you know, so I go back and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to get any more of that. That wasn't any good last time. You know, I'm going to get some of this because this was good. But church, all of the fruit of the Spirit is good. And I look at it, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I want to say, I want to sign up for all of that. I want all of that because, man, it all looks good. This is the dessert table at Thanksgiving that we walk up to and we're like, man, all of it just looks good. I want some of all of it. Our desire ought be not, well, I want to have that fruit of love, but not too concerned with the meekness. But you know why it all looks good? Some of it's harder than others. The meekness and the long-suffering is a little bit harder than the love and the joy. Some of it maybe comes a little bit easier than the others. Some requires a little more work. But you know why it's all of it is good? You know why all of it is appealing? Because it's from God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. And so if God says, this is what you need in your life, this is the fruit that you ought to have in your life, I ought to look at it and say, if God says, I need all of this, then all of it is good, and I want all of it. As much as I can get of all of it. I want for love abound, love to abound, joy and peace to reign in my heart. I want to be long-suffering with people. I want to be gentle with people. I want to have goodness toward people. I want to have faith that does not waver. I want to be meek, and I want to be temperate in the things that I do. Why? Because these are the things that are of the Spirit. And that's who I am now. I'm saved. I'm not of the flesh. I'm of the Spirit now. So I want what God has for me. I want what He wants in my life. If He says, if my gracious, loving Father, whose Son went to the cross for me, says, this is what's good for you, then I consent that it's good for me, and I want everything that He has for me because I want to be everything that He wants me to be. So tonight we were going to look at the first three, but we won't do that this evening. We'll save that for next Sunday morning. I had planned on digging into these first three and really getting down to, really digging into what they are here and looking at them specifically. But I feel as though God led us in a different direction tonight and just maybe drew us to the point where we would just stop and think, what is this about? What's this fruit of the Spirit all about? So maybe tonight God was just getting us in that frame of mind that we needed to be in before we started to look at them specifically. So as we walk out of here, I think what we ought to walk out of here is this. First of all, I have all of the Spirit I'll ever have. Does the Spirit have all of me? Let's ask ourselves that question, through the week. Second, do I desire all of this fruit that the Spirit has to offer? Does the Spirit have all of me, and do I desire to have all that the Spirit has for me in my life? Or am I trying to pick and choose? Let's read one last passage before we close, Ephesians chapter 5. Because this goes along with what we were already saying, that sometimes we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, that goes along with what we were saying this morning. We're not of the flesh anymore, so we don't live like it. This is telling us, be different, live in the Spirit, and obey the Spirit. And we will read this passage again next week and expound on it a little bit more, but if you look at verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We would say, you're not supposed to be drunk with wine. But the second part of that verse says, you are to be filled with the Spirit. So why do we see drunkenness as being wrong, but we tolerate in our own lives not being filled with the Spirit? I mean, we would proudly say sometimes, wouldn't we? We should, out of pride, but don't we sometimes say, hey, I don't drink, I don't get drunk. Bible says not to do that. I don't do that. Okay, but the second part of that verse says to be filled with the Spirit. How often do you hear a Christian say, I don't get drunk, I make sure that I let the Holy Spirit fill me? No, they usually say, I don't get drunk, and then stop there. Now, the second part of that verse says, okay, out with the bad, in with the good, right? Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And actually, one other one, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, real quick. With this one we will close with. One verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. I quoted this earlier. We just wanted to go to it and read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. That's how we know the Spirit doesn't always have all of us, because sometimes we quench the Spirit and we don't listen and we ignore. And that's why we don't always have all of that fruit in our lives. So, like I said, I was planning on looking at the first three and really digging into those, but that's not what ended up happening. I think that what we need to focus on tonight is, what's our desire? Does the Holy Spirit have all of us? And do we desire for Him to have all of us? Do we desire these things? And then Sunday morning, we will begin to meticulously look at each one of these types of fruit and break that down. So let's pray and sing our invitational hymn and give our closing hymn and just give everybody some time. Maybe God's dealt with you tonight on an area of your life where you have been holding back or you have been quenching the Spirit. Maybe He's dealt with you on that and you need to talk to Him about it. So let's make sure that we have time to do that this evening. I will pray and then we will sing 511. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and thank You for what You've taught us tonight and preparing our hearts before we really dig into each one of these fruits of the Spirit. And I pray that You would help us as we do that. Show us tonight if there's an area where we are not, where we're withholding. Show us if there's an area where we're not giving all. And help us to have the desire to have all of this fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.